Blog Talk Radio.
Yo! Happy holidays, happy Kwanzaa, Habari Gani, Harambe. Thank you for sitting with us under the Anukai tree. I am Jip Jack, sitting with...
I am your illustrious producer, Mick Sykes.
Thanks again for sitting with us under the Anukai tree. This is our holiday special. Get.com because the eggnog is flowing. Now we don't got no eggnog. You know, eggnog, don't y'all dare. Niggas do not have eggnog, okay?
But we're also giving our personal reflections and highlights from this year. We're going to have some of our guests from this past season call in and share theirs. We're also having a musical number live. We're going to see how that turns out toward the end of the show. And we are also going to give our 2020 astrological reading using tarot for your horoscope almost. We're going to go month by month and see some of the things we have to look forward to, things we have to watch out for, and things we have to be like mentally, spiritually of. So if you're joining us tonight, radio.com/Anukai. And on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Instagram. And if you want to call in tonight and share some of your highlights and reflections from 2019, anything in pop culture, your personal life, politics, whatever, call in at 914-205-5458. Again, that number is 914-205-5458. We want to like just cut to it. If people come in and come on, we'll just add you to the conversation. So caller 8931, you're on. Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Yes.
Can you hear us?
Hi.
Hey.
It's Sophia.
What's going on, Sophia? Wagwan then.
Hi, guys. Not in Wagwan.
Thanks for calling up.
So we talking about? What we talking about right now?
Whatever, like, yo, down some highlights for the year, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll start, like a really crazy highlight that happened to me is that I got initiated into the religion that I'm in. You know what it is, but we not spilling teas until after certain things are done, right? But end of the day, I got initiated into this the priesthood of my religion, and it's been a crazy ride for the first couple of months. And it's just been amazing. Like, masks have been coming off, you know what I'm saying, for me and my God family. Things have just been crazy. People that need to be the fuck away have made themselves scarce. You know what I'm saying? Just like, get the fuck out, you know what I'm saying, like, without much to do by me. Like, I haven't had to do much but get initiated and not even say too many words, and they made themselves scarce, you know? So that's a highlight for me, because I'm a cut-it-off kind of person. I'll cut you right off, but it's also, like, hard, you know? Like, you don't want to have that cut-off conversation. And I'm definitely not a ghoster. Like, I will not ghost you, but same time, if you're not supposed to be around.
You tell the group chat that we're back.
So yeah, that's why Sophia called. So yeah, this and the third, you know what I'm saying? I mean, everything has been, and everything been really interesting since initiating, but all in goodness, you know? Like, everything has been really, really great. And that's the highlight, pretty much, that's like the highlight of the year. That's what I've been waiting for quite a while, you know? How about you, babe?
I'm happy for you. I had a trying year, but I will say this. This year was trying, but it was a transitional year for me. So everything that happened, I kind of took it in stride because I saw it as literally me rebuilding myself. And when you rebuilding yourself, you have to start at the foundation. The foundation is the lowest part of the building. And so I basically, this year brought me back down to my foundation, the core of who I am, and I kind of have to rebuild myself, but based on my real core values, my real core, the things that I want, I really see myself being in the future that I want to have for myself. This year, even though it was very trying, it brought me down to that very, very basic foundation of myself. So I feel really good. I'm feeling really good going to the new year. I'm looking forward to everything 2020 has in store for me. And I'm not even that, like, new year, new me type of person. I've never made a new year's resolution in my life, ever.
Yeah.
This is the first year that I can honestly say I'm going into the new year and I see that new year, new me. But I know it's only because I started working on that in this year.
That's very because, you know what I'm saying, I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you because I know you took a lot of personal steps and made a lot of decisions for that to be the case. You know what I'm saying? It didn't just, like, happen. You had to literally be like, okay, like, I'm going to do this. You know what I'm saying? Because
right,
that's not serving me no more, so let me just toss that out. And the deity that I have been initiated into, the mysteries of which I've been initiated, it was very much about that. Like, she'll come through, huff and puff and blow your house down and leave you with your foundation if your foundation is solid enough. And if not, well, guess you're starting with the bottom soil. You know what I'm saying? And going to be
right,
laying through the concrete so that you can get it together. So that's very interesting.
That.
And just to make sure that you can rebuild it stronger because, like, she's not about none of that weak shit. You know what I mean? And it's important. This has kind of been like, I feel like that's, you know, been kind of the story for a lot of people who are either just, like, really starting to get focused on their spiritual journey or have spent a little bit of time, you know, within a very, like, heavy, I don't want to say heavy like it hurts, but, like, in a serious spiritual practice, have been dealing with a lot of that kind of wave where, like, again, like, the masks of certain people has been lifting, so that means that they got to go, you know what I'm saying, whether that is by your own hand and saying, hey, I see who you are, get the fuck out, you know what I'm saying, or, you know what I'm saying, what have you, changing jobs, moving, like, people, like, again, like, we moved this year, you know, after getting initiated, there was no way that, like, all the things that come with initiation was going to fit in our other place. You've been to our other place. You got to come to the new place, by the way.
Yes. Okay, yes, for sure. For sure, I will.
Got to come through. But you know, there was no way that all the stuff that I needed to get, all the literal fucking, like, physical things that I had after initiation was going to fit, you know? So we needed a new spot. Come to find out a bunch of craziness was going on in that spot anyway, like, with literally nobody, like, seeing that in our old spot in that building for more than a year. Like, people was just in and out of there, you know what I'm saying? So it's been a really serious transitional year for people
right,
who are at least on their spiritual game, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, coming to
yes,
a spiritual
for
game.
Sure. And I know for me this year, I think that was a part of it too, you know. I know that once I started exploring my spirituality more, I started to see a lot of things slowly. The first word that comes to mind is dying. I don't know. I'm going to assume that's the correct word for what I'm describing. It's not what I was aiming for, but that is that's the only word that's coming to me is I started to see the things around me dying.
I say.
But really, all the things that were dying were like the superficial things, the fluff, the extra that's not the core of who I am. And it took a lot for me to even be okay with doing away with those things and everything around me basically dying. But I know it was something very necessary for me. And I think this year was a full circle year for sure.
I say, these are all words, sorry that I have Bay speaking yet, but these are all like terms that I've heard, you know what I'm saying, so often, especially within my God family, you know, like there's so much shit happening, like transitionally, and like so much stuff coming full circle that it's just like, well, damn, like it's just amazing. And spirit works in this way. That's why we even feel like we can do this reading for the year and like even like purport to kind of speak in a general behalf, because spirit does sometimes, or most of the time, work in some kind of general way where at least a large group of people be going through the same shit at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we've been doing this for 3 years, actually.
Yeah.
Like, we do it every year on Facebook Live. So for the past 2 years, we've done that. This is the first time we'll be doing that reading on the podcast. Because one of our friends definitely asked, like, hey, are you going to do your yearly reading this year? And we was like, oh, you know, niggas are talking. But I'm like, all right, yeah, of course. So that's a part of the show. Like, this year was a really long year in the sense that I feel like every season was a year unto itself.
Mm.
And especially from the aspect of, like, my own personal growth. Like, as a couple, we completed, like, our first round of couples therapy. I know that we'll probably do it again in the future. And that was very helpful to me in a lot of, like, regards in our own relationship and my own, like, just personal interbeing. Like, I feel like I was made a better person through that process and that experience. So I'd, like, highly recommend therapy if you can afford it, because it should be expensive.
It is.
For anyone that's been thinking about it, we went on vacation. We had, like, a really nice time.
Oh, man,
and
Florida,
Key West, like our, and in Miami, like that was great. Like, and that was our first like
major
mission together. And just professionally, just a lot of things have happened to me professionally this year, and I definitely feel like I've become like a better educator from it. Like, it definitely like solidified some things for me. It also clarified some things for me. Made me more flexible in new ways to teach and reach kids. Like, I've been a para. Actually, December 22nd was my 12th school year. So I've been doing this for a long time. And I also have 2 advanced degrees. I could be a teacher. I just, like, chose not to. Like, once, like, I was like, I don't want to do this. I actually like what I do. And now I'm equipped with more knowledge to do what I do more effectively. And, like, teach with the best of them. And I have. But I feel like this year, like, shit, this, like, I had, like, one of the hardest I've had in fucking 12 years. And at the end of the day, his parents didn't want to, like, do anything to help the situation. They were just putting a lot of weight on us as, like, a school team. And, like, I have to learn to let go. And, luckily, things shifted around, and I'm in, like, a better situation now. A different situation, not better. A different situation. I started a business. I started
yes.
A blog and
mm-hmm.
doing, like, food and catering videos and starting my catering business. We started this podcast. So a lot of things have been, like, great and fruitful this year. And I also just look at it from, like, a community aspect too. Like, I feel like a lot of people this year, like, woke up. Like,
me too.
Certain things have happened in society and in this country that, like, you even, like, the most the extreme simpletons, like, you can't ignore it. And so, like, I feel like a lot of people just, like, coming around, especially, and that's why we do this podcast, to alternate ways of making it, ancestral ways of making it, like, more Black people, like, oh, no, they put a madman in the big chair.
Trump.
Niggas, we got to get together. And I've seen a lot of hard discussions happen.
Trump.
In the Black community, but discussions that I feel are necessary. More happening every day. And especially this year. And that's why I feel like every season felt like a year unto itself. Like we've moved on in topics as like the community and like as a focus.
Right.
Everything from religion to sexuality. And we still got things to work through. But I'm glad to find out a fucking conversation. This way where certain people aren't controlling the narrative of that conversation.
For one second, I would just like to speak about something that happened. It's a little bit of an aside, so excuse me, sidebar, but very important bar. As this podcast is very much about the lives of Black people, including, which always includes Black queer people, from lesbians to homosexual SGL men, to the trans community, we have to speak up this trans woman's name. I don't want to mispronounce it. It's either Yahira or Yahira Nesby was murdered in Brooklyn yesterday. Say her name, Yahira or Yahira Nesby. Condolences to everyone who loves her. You have not lost her. You just lost access to her body. Her spirit is going to always be with you. Give her 9 days to rest and figure out what the hell going on the other side, and then light a candle for her. People like I would say, people need to give before they start doing vigils. I feel like we do vigils too quick, and then suddenly people wonder why like certain places are haunted and shit. Give them a second to get their shit together. That's why funerals don't happen the next day usually. You know what I'm saying? Like just traditionally, it doesn't go down. So, give her a second. I know a vigil happened yesterday anyway. That's fine. But before you start putting her on your personal altars, any of the witchy people that loved her and any other ancestral worshipers, give her a second to, you know, get hugs from her ancestors and, you know, get acclimated to who's spiritual court and things of that nature. And then light your candles and give her some light. She definitely needs it. And, you know, let's just have a moment in which we lift her for a second, because it's kind of ridiculous. Like we couldn't close the year out without something like this. Right. Like, and after, I guess I want to say maybe even just a 10 second moment of silence. I want to ask y'all, what do y'all want to leave? What do y'all want the community to leave in 2019 and not take with them in 2020? And it doesn't have to be anything like that, but so let's give 10 seconds of silence to our fallen sister. All right, Ashe, thank you, sister, for all the work that you've done while you were here, and the fierceness that you have exhibited. Wish I knew you, and grateful for everything that you, all the lives that you've touched, and all the work that you are going to do, because the work does not end because your body is gone, girl. So thank you for all the work that you will be doing on the other side. Anybody have anything that they want the community to leave behind in 2020?
Homophobia and transphobia. Like, I've had some conversations with family members this week about like transphobia and things like that, and I feel like I got through to a cousin who's pretty much like my brother, and like we're raised together, and that had literally brought in like, his sister on his page, really really brought it home. Like she like really like taught and ministered to him, for lack of a better word, about transphobia from cishet people and what that looks like and how that shows up. But I also said to him, I was just like, if you only use, he was talking about the whole J.K. Rowling thing and how she stuck up for this woman who got fired from her job for transphobic comments. was just like, well, do you think she should have gotten fired? And I was just like, your feelings about those life should never enter a workspace. The second that happens, it makes it hostile environment, like a hostile environment, and makes it violent. If a white person to you at your job, I don't like motherfucking niggers, and I'll stay with die or aren't people. Even if he doesn't act on that, just knowing that way immediately creates unnecessary tension in like I never thought about it. And I was like, what?
Him. I got two things I need y'all to leave behind. I need y'all to leave behind the community. So make these fucking connections. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like homophobia will go on if I would just make certain connections. How is it that you never thought of it that way? You know? Because, right. Because y'all would rather, a lot of homophobic people, especially within our community, would rather hold on to their homophobia by trying to act like racism and homophobia have no parallels than seeing where they actually intersect. Maybe they don't have parallels. Maybe they go in two different directions to the point where they intersect at 90 fucking degrees. Maybe this shit is perpendicular, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? And figure out what's going on at that point where they meet. Realize that, yeah, when you sound just like white people, if they're women, when you sound just like men who are misogynists, it's just that simple. Realize that literally the language is the same. It's not. It's, there's no difference between anything that y'all say in this language. It's really crazy.
Because it all comes from the same source. We have to consider the source, which is right.
The other thing I really hope gets left behind, where as educators we are trying our best to do the damn work, I need the fear culture that our children are developing and maintaining and perpetuating. I need that to end so quickly. Anecdote, I teach school in Brooklyn, and one of my kids decides that she's not going to sing because one other kid happens to not have good ears. He's pretty tone deaf, right? And she feels like she doesn't want her vocals to be associated with his. But when she gets on stage, all she looks like is that she's scared and doesn't know her part when she was the best person in the class. And it's like, okay, you so afraid of getting bullied, you don't want to get bullied because of how somebody else is doing. Then in the same show, group of kids had a fashion line where they made these track jackets that were dope. If I wasn't going through my year, I would definitely freaking wear. Like, I would wear them track jackets. Not a single child was excited to get up and literally just, like, hold their track jacket up in front of the class. Like, no one wanted, like, it took, like, 10 minutes for them to come down to the front of the auditorium just to show them the track jackets. And don't even let somebody try to hand them a mic. They're like, and passing off the mic because, like, literally success is something that you're afraid to be teased with. These are successful track jackets. Y'all won. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not something that you should be concerned about losing. Like, literally, a product that y'all could sell today. Okay, a product that says chase your dreams, and y'all literally afraid to get up and be successful. That's because y'all don't want to be teased seriously, and then don't want to listen to Adele. Hello, I'm a gay, two-spirited person who walks out in this bitch in skirts. You know what I'm saying? Like, after your school, y'all are concerned. Where I hear y'all teasing me, you know what I'm saying, and trying to make fun of me. On a regular basis. And guess what? I grew up like this. This is how a nigga grew up. You have to make sure you do the thing that makes you successful anyway. You have to make the decision to be yourself anyway. And there's something, I don't know if it's parents, I don't know if it's just the school environment, but I feel like
it was. And you didn't like the answer, but you like acquiesced.
What is it?
Us as millennials, like, growing up and realizing that the system and everything we've seen has been said and sort of been marketed to is bullshit. So millennials very have this narrative and this voice in society that everything is bullshit. And what happened with Generation Z and beyond, all they heard or all they like internalized from that message is everything is bullshit, so why try?
But the reason that I couldn't like really accept that is because if everything is bullshit and why try, why are you afraid of trying? There's a difference between actually not giving a fuck, you know what I'm saying? Oh, this is bullshit, so I'm not going to try because, like, there's no point in trying, and, like, literally being shook to try, when you succeed.
Sister was out here calling herself a singer, so I think, like, there's some people that took that side of that, and then, like, there's a lot of other people that took the other.
All I'm seeing is the fear. Literally down the line. So it's like, to me, care. Like, again, like millennials, like, actually got to a point where we actually don't give a fuck. So some girl will walk outside with half a bald head and half a fro because, like, really, it don't matter. So she wants to do the thing that she wants to do because who cares about anything that okay? That's not caring. But being afraid to literally go up and show yourself. Hearing a whole lot.
Savia, what do you think about that?
I mean, I know that I see kids in my age group, and it's, to be honest, it's a little hard for me because I parent a lot different than most other Black woman parents our age and older. So I haven't personally experienced that with my child because my child is the exact opposite. He's very proud to show what he does, but he's, I think, because I raised him to find value in pretty much everything that he does. But I know based on from his peers and what I see, a lot of it is peer pressure. I know when we were younger, it's like being smart, right? Like when we were younger, I remember I was the quote-unquote Oreo because I read well and I spoke quote-unquote well. I don't believe in proper speaking. I believe in dialect, standard English dialect. That's what I was using, and I grew up in Bed-Stuy. So the other kids, even the children who had the capability of reading on a higher reading level or doing well in class, they wouldn't do it because of the pressure from their peers. So that, because it's like the smart kid, there's a negative connotation to it in a lot of urban communities. And I feel like this is kind of the same thing, but instead of it being with academics, the children don't want to take pride in their achievements because they don't want to be put in that position where now they're like a teacher's pet or a goody two-shoes and their peers will make fun of them.
I want to add to that. I hear everything you just said. I want to add to also, there's no escape for that. Like, there's the internet. So, like, even when you go home and you're a certain age and you're on social media, funny there. So, like, the bullying is, like, in your house, whereas we're the last generation without the internet. Like, we grew up, like, half without it, half with it, pretty much. Well, not half, it's going to be more than half.
Right.
But, like, a good chunk of our lives existed without the internet, and, like, they don't know a world without that.
How does that vibe get created? Like, started the shit where, like, intelligence treated where success even gets treated as a negative. Where does that come from?
Well, the intelligence thing is American culture. Like, we depict smart and brainy people in a certain way, like in the media and what we see. So intelligence in American society is very much frowned upon or seen as like weak, machismo male that can fight and hunt and spit and grunt and play sports. The pinnacle of ideals, not the person who's most intelligent. That's a large part of it. Like, we don't, like, in, like, India and China, like, in Asia, like, in general, even the Caribbean, fuck that. In Trinidad, like, if you, like, the
yes.
top class, you was that nigga.
Yeah, that's why I was the way I was, because I got Trinidadian parents who don't play that.
Yeah, I got a Black
like
American mom.
Oh, he's
going
to kick a ball.
Ma'am, great.
My son's going to be a doctor.
Exactly. So, and I will say that I'm going to piggyback on the American culture thing and then remember, as in our community, being Africans in America, a lot of times, if you were intelligent, you were seen as a threat by white people.
Right.
So we learned generations ago that it's better to dumb yourself down, because being smart can actually put your life in danger.
Lord.
Because I've even thought about it, like how many generations, think about like the first Black person to get accepted into Harvard. Imagine what their family was thinking. Their family probably afraid for their life.
Right.
So then these things have social implications. And those social implications are played out in our behaviors.
True. So my thing is, how do we reverse that shit? Because it's imperative. It's imperative that our children understand that they need to be okay with being successful, at least. You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck whether you're smart, whether you're talented. Go out there, try, and when you're successful, be proud of yourself for being successful and move on that success. Because otherwise, what do you actually have? Like, otherwise, what do you do? Like, literally all niggas have is what we can do with and for ourselves in our own homes, you know what I'm saying, and the hope that we can monetize and commodify that shit.
Also, the greater counterculture of white, what Sophia also wanted to speak on, like white supremacist.
No, I completely
of,
understand.
Like,
I need corrective
action.
Yeah, that's what I need. Like, there needs to be a way that we as adults, I guess, can come together and figure out what the fuck we can do to get our kids to be okay with being successful and to cut out, like, yo, it's really crazy, you know what I'm saying? But it's really crazy because the principal comes to these assemblies or whatever, and the first she says to them is, if, when your people come up here, don't laugh at them. Why she gotta continue to tell y'all not to laugh? Where does she keep doing that? You know, first of all, that you don't like it when somebody's laughing. Would you then perpetuate that on somebody else? How do we get them to understand that all they have is each other and their success?
So I'm going to say this. What I actually was going to say I want to leave in 2019 is anti-blackness and parental styles.
Mm.
And you're kind of leading me into that direction. A lot of our parental styles are very anti-Black and are based on oppressive practices from slavery that were handed down through generations that we're still practicing to this day. So we have to remember that a lot of times our children are taught to be small, and that starts in the home. In most homes, thank goodness I didn't have this experience, and I make sure that I don't do this with my kids, but a lot of us, our opinions never mattered to our parents. The way we felt about things never mattered to them. Our thoughts about the situation that we're in, about their lives, about everything around us, we had no say. That plays into your psyche. It plays into your self-esteem. It plays into your susceptibility to being to having your opinion swayed by others. And so I think that's kind of the root of it, is a lot of it is the way that we parent our children. Those psychological burdens are then carrying with them into the educational system, into their social interactions. So if a child has no place where they are valued, they devalue themselves, and now they devalue their output. And I don't think a lot of parents look at parenting their children that way. And it is way of parenting that you see primarily in African communities, specifically, I will say in the States.
For sure.
Well, I can't even say in the States. I will say in the diaspora, period, because we learned very long ago that being quiet is important, that keeping yourself small is important, and our parents suffer under oppressive conditions that they come home and they don't have anybody else smaller than them out in the world, but the people who are smaller than them is their children.
I say, just to piggyback and segue, I guess, of that, this same girl that went up on that stage and going to decide not to sing because of somebody else's ear gets subbed by the program director of the school. The program director is trying to sell classes because they're going to switch artistic classes next semester, right? And when she gets to singing, she's like, if you like, try singing out. And she says, you know, singing class is one thing, but, you know, it's a real vulnerable thing. So once you get on that stage, it's a whole other thing. The girl going to sit in the audience and go, oh, that's a sub. So you want to be so small that you're going to allow yourself to be called out in such a big way. Nobody can do. And yeah, it might be a sub, but you just made it hot, 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 hot. You just put all the eyes on you, screamed it. You know what I'm saying? That now you have smaller amongst your peers. And I don't even think you even see it that way. You think that you're saving, you know what I'm saying? She thought that her actions was literally saving herself from ridicule. Well, all she did was give herself more ridicule and wouldn't listen to me when I told her this thing. So I completely agree. This idea that being a failure is the way to go, or just not trying, or like literally like you can't fail if you don't try, when it's like actually that's the only way to certainly fail, you know? Child cheese. It's definitely a lot. It's so much.
You want to take a break and come back with like highlights from the year?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to play, we're not going to do our
live song yet.
That's going to come toward the end of the episode. But I am going to play Beauteous by Chip Shack. Hope you guys enjoy, and we'll be right back.
rhyme, I might fit a skip, and then dip, then rip.
Thank you, everyone. That was Beauteous by Jip Jack. Mm-hmm. Make sure you go to JipJack.com and follow Jip Jack on Facebook and Twitter. Look some of his great videos up on YouTube. We are going to get into, before we do our year-end reading, we just want to, like, go some little pop culture highlights and things from 2019. I was just going to say, let's just like another year of Trump and get that out the way.
For real.
Before we talk about anything else.
I'm not even trying to get him out of the White House because nobody even wants to imagine what Pence is trying to think about. I don't even want to know what he's thinking about. Leave him out
it's
of all of this.
Only a couple of months. How bad?
How the fuck? Just fucking do it on the last day. If y'all like, kick him out on the last day, then fine. Before we get into that, I do want to say Safia had to go. She lost her confident children, and she had one note that she did that she wanted to say before she left, but she had to go while we were doing the song. She let us know that she's saying, giving our children value in our homes is the most important thing you can do. I've mentioned before how the home should be a sanctuary. You should not, we've got to get rid of this idea that you got to raise your children by bringing the house and trying to toughen them up for what's going on outside. The best thing you can do is support them so that when they go outside, they at least know that when they come home, they could get a hug. They at least know that when they come home, what they're good at cultivating. She said, fine, and cultivate it. It doesn't mean they will build a career about it, but it's about teaching them about persistence and seeing a project through from beginning to end. And they will be most likely inclined to do that if they feel good at it in the first place. And if you, as their parent, are letting them know that they are good at that thing, then they will go out into the world knowing that they have something to offer, even if they never make money off of that thing. And having something to offer is the biggest way that you can feel confident in this world that literally says because of your melanin, you have nothing but your productivity to offer. And then, not even that, right? So now, let's move on to highlights for the year.
Collusion.
Aussie, no collusion. I honestly, like, y'all know how I feel about this whole thing. It's a circus. It's a puppet show. It's Sesame Street on ice, and my whole life. Like, I mean, SNL has been funnier. I'm not into SNL whatsoever, and I have been watching with Bay with glee. Like, when he puts it on, I'm like, yes, let's watch this, because I swear their take on everything that's going on is so...
Just to see Alec Baldwin play Trump again and again and
oh
again.
My God, it's so blood-curdlingly accurate, and it's just like...
And most of it is just, like, verbatim. They're not even, like, making anything up.
Right. The writers have never had an easier time making this check.
Even, like, there's a show on Showtime, Cartoon President.
Oh, my God.
And it's about, like, Trump and, like, his administration. And sometimes I'm watching, that happen? Or is that, like, a joke? And I'm like, oh, wait, that happened. Like, I go on Google and start, like, clicking on it and say, wait, that happened. That's not even funny. Like, the whole, like, Russian hookers peeing on each other thing.
Yo.
Happened. That wasn't, like, conspiracy thing. That was actually, that actually happened and documented that. He's still president. And they impeached Bill Clinton over lying about a blowjob.
Right. Son.
Like Giuliani stitching him left and right.
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't know if it's on purpose. I'm just like, are they frenemies? Like, what's happening here? Like, why do you keep telling on your boy? Him getting embarrassed at the G8 summit, and then again at the NATO conference where they were talking about him behind his back. And it was just like, damn, you don't have to shred a foreign dignity left. Not that I give a fuck as a black person who lives in America how we really look, but like what we really had was our international sort of like pompousness now, and sort of like dignity that is completely gone. Like they'll couple us in with the white people, so it's not like
right. It's not like we can like as black people go overseas and not essentially look just like Trump. Like they're like, oh, like you're Trump, and it's like, no, I have nothing to do with that. Didn't vote for that. Like. Nothing to do with that. And they're like, oh, well, you're American. Literally, I don't remember who you're talking to, but outside of America, they come here, when they come here and realize that the shits are not, like, the same everywhere, that literally in a place from, like, I don't know why this is always the first state of Wyoming. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not the same, okay? So if there are any international listeners looking at Trump thinking all Americans are this motherfucker, no one here is a person standing next to them. It's just how it is. The one thing we all have is government. And then black people have so much less of that. So please give us the benefit of the doubt when we come to your country just to see what it's like anywhere else, please. Because, like, goddamn, we are not this motherfucker. Another highlight for me was Jussie Smollett.
I mean, just when you up for Trump?
Yeah, I can't.
Can't give him
too much. We can come back to Trump.
Okay.
But we can't, like, ugh.
It was that whole Jussie Smollett thing was so confusing. We don't even know what, we still don't know what actually happened. Confirmed.
Right. I refuse to deny him what he said until somebody really comes out with some shit that says, nope, literally everything. Like,
the Chicago Police Department tried to sue him for money they spent on the investigation, and it got thrown out in court. So that just makes me think, like, yeah, they were trying to, like, pin something on him or make him look some kind of way. Maybe, like, it did happen. Only because if you have a narrative down in the media, especially with, like, a celebrity of, like, any notable level of supporters attacking black people, that just makes it look like the Klan, obviously, like in such an obvious way,
right,
that you can't dress that up in the media. So it would be easier to discredit him than to get it, or like as they just highly confused enough where you can't even focus on the fact because there's so much like bullshit being thrown in the mess. And I feel like that's what they really did with him.
Right. It's like they don't spend this much time and energy discrediting people unless there's something going on. So for people, like, it kind of bugs me that, like, black people were so willing, and black gay people were so willing to throw Jussie under the bus because of what the Chicago police had to say about it.
The fucking police force allowed R. Kelly go free for years. Like, as long as them bribes was coming.
Okay.
And when the bribes dried up, they send this nigga down.
Okay, and as long as them girls was black. And so it's like y'all don't understand the anti-blackness and literally all of the system to, like, but like before you take a second to be like, okay, wait. The system is trying to say what we think because all of y'all thought that he was lying. Like, the system is agreeing with us a little too hard. Like, let's do our own investigation. Oh, shit. Speaking of investigations, I'm sorry I even have to bring this up, but this it just happened for us because we just watched it on Netflix, but no, Tino, this is not a highlight of my year. Fucking Netflix, don't fuck with cats.
That wasn't from this year. That happened in 2012, though.
Oh, but I'm saying in terms of the documentary, like, being on, like, the highlight of for me, that was a highlight.
White murder.
Oh, my God. White people, y'all. Y'all will investigate the fucking abuse of animals so succinctly. Like, I have never seen such a beautiful coming together of human beings and civilians in my life. If only you motherfuckers would do that for black people.
Where are our girls?
Where are our girls?
They found this. The way, like, you're not gonna have to watch
this. Please watch this documentary.
He wasn't actually a serial killer, but like,
he killed like a total of four cats. And that was enough for white people to be like, oh, he's going to end up killing people, which 9 out of 10, the attention they gave him is what drove him to kill a person. He wanted to be an actor and not on this benefit. I'm not going to say the man's name. But long story short, if it wasn't for these white people who clearly had enough time on their hands to go to the greatest lengths that I promise your police
white people
department.
Good jobs, like not regular, like.
Right.
Making, I work at a gas station, like, these white people were like a data analyst at a casino in Vegas. Professors, like.
Okay. People with actual shit that they gotta do when they take homework, because these people take work home, do you understand? And instead of doing the work that they need to do at home, they did this. They did more work than I promise your closest fucking local detective does to find anything out. Okay, especially if it has to do with black people. So y'all need to see this just to see exactly the lengths white people go to avoid having to do the shits with black people, because they will find kittens to do it for. It's really ridiculous. What's another one, babe?
Hyman Gate.
Oh, Hyman Gate.
That was a good one for the documentary. Niggas was up in arms. We've just recovered from Hyman Gate.
Oh my god. Stay your ass out of fucking minor females' pants, period. Period. Just stay out of it.
Keep your dick in your own marriage. How about that?
How about that? How about you be the man that your daughter needs to be looking after? You can't be trying to protect her from niggas like you. That is not how this works. shit. I'm going to write it down because we want to get to this reading.
I'm trying to think. There was something else I wanted
to say. If you think of something, call in. The number is 914-5458 again. 914-205-5458. Call us now. 970, guys. I don't remember all the 970.
Throwback.
I can't.
Young hoes was on there.
The chat line. Damn, I can't even think of nothing. It was long. Like, I really do gotta go by the seasons to even like imagine what the fuck went down. There was so much shit.
Interesting about homophobia got stirred up because like Dwayne Wade loving and supporting his child.
Yes.
That was a big thing. It's still like ongoing.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna end anytime soon. Gabby Union's face just insists on itself a lot. It's like when you see her face, you're like, okay, yeah, she believes in herself and she knows what the fuck she's talking about, even if I want to speak against it. You know what I'm saying? And y'all, it irks a lot of y'all apparently.
Monique Sue Netflix.
Mm.
That was interesting.
Integrity. Barnes. That was good this year. Fucking South Park. Integrity Weed.
White people had no idea who Frankie Beverly or Anita Baker were.
Yo.
Right. How black people. They didn't know. Like, what was that? Everyone knows who Anita Baker is, especially after this whole Supreme Court thing. Like, when Christine Ford spoke out. That's.
Not Anita Baker, miss.
Rest Anita Hill.
Anita Hill, miss.
Stay in your white place.
Stay in your white lane.
Stay in your white lane. There's been a lot of... Actually, there hasn't been... of... sidestepping by black, white people on black food shit this year in particular. None that I can recall.
Word, not that I've seen too much either.
There's been so much shit going on. Like, even, like, watching the whole thing about Don't Fuck With Cats. It's like, wait, where were we? What's happening? We hear shit about this.
Right.
And I'm always in the news and like, on the blogs and, like, the news feeds and, like, forums and shit. I was like, how did I miss this? I was like, oh, Obama, Martin, Mike
right.
Brown.
Yes,
like, it was hot. It was a couple of hot summers.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be the Mayan, the end of the Mayan calendar, and we were all going to die. It was a lot of shit going on. It's a lot.
But this year, like, yeah, it has. There's nothing else I can think of that
right.
was, like, important that struck me about this year in pop culture or in media. You got Disney Plus.
Oh god.
You got a couple of good Marvel movies.
Queen and Slim came out. Y'all hated it. So many of y'all hated it. A few.
We have that Harriet fiasco.
Oh, Harriet. The whole Cynthia Erivo fiasco, which we haven't really spoken about. And there's a part of me that doesn't want to disparage a black woman in a way, but she, like, comes off so anti-AFAM. And for her to say, like in interviews and shit, she talks all of this shit about, like, oh, we do, you know what I'm saying? Like, I care so much about this role, and I did so much dramaturgy, and I did so much this, that, and the third, blah, blah, blah. But then you allowed them to create a whole white savior that wasn't there, and a whole interest there, and all these lies. And one of the biggest things that you felt concerned about in the Oprah interview was wearing a corset. Like, bitch, that doesn't make you historically accurate, bitch. Like, come on. And so, like, when people, like, some of my faves that aren't necessarily as famous as Cynthia Erivo, but are absolutely on their way, she's not anti-black. Like, that's crazy to say when, like, she could go do that. I wonder how much they actually know about Harriet Tubman and how much they actually know about the civil rights movement and how much they know about what happened when during a slave emancipation and things of that nature. Like, a lot of y'all do a lot of stepping and fetching and a lot of keeping your mouth shut, you know what I'm saying, about actual black shit in order to climb and please these white people who definitely know all of the shit but refuse to put the truth out there. And to me, there's a lot of black people doing some habitual line stepping by not even crossing lines that they need to cross. Cross the damn line. Cynthia Erivo, you care about Harriet Tubman, you care about that role, you care about being historically accurate, you needed to be up in that writing room like, excuse me, who the fuck is this cracker that you got in here that's supposed to be helping her save people? Take that out. Who's this? Who's this love interest? Who's that? Take that out. Yeah, that's cute and everything, but this is not a cute story. Harriet Tubman's life was not fucking cute.
They didn't put her on the $20 bill because she didn't.
She didn't have shit to smile about, okay? She was watching pregnant women get holes dug so that their stomach could be lined in holes so that they could get whipped in their backs. She was sitting there watching people fucking picnics. Cut it out. Harry did not have shit to smile about. She didn't have no time to be sucking nobody's dick. She had no time kissing the white ass.
Okay. And we're going to end with that. For this segment of the show. All right, so you ready to get into the reading?
Let's get into this reading.
I will move the mic. Here, you think that's good, or should I move it there?
That should be fine. Yes. I don't even know on
camera. Oh, do you?
Yeah. Is there one over here or
gotta
go?
There might be. Probably not. So we're gonna do our Cairo spread for 2020. And what that consists of is what I do is I personally draw card for of the year and a 13th card that represents sort of aura or mood of the year. And what Jack is going to do is, like, if there are any sort of, like, ambiguities in any of the cards that I draw for a particular month, he's going to draw with his deck to sort of give more things that we can generally expect that month as. So, like, and I'm also in, like, a particular place in a particular position in a certain perspective. Different people do these. Some people get insight about other things. And my advice to you as a person that follows, like, astrology or any sort of, like, divination is to find what triggers and speaks most to you. Something that you can do. And also, I'd like nothing is written in stone. Like, we are not victims to destiny, but more of, like, we write it every day. So, like, different decisions can be made, different sort of attitudes can change, and things can take place, like, to shift anything that I might say here today. But this is just, like, our sort of, like, most current path. Like, if we, like, continue on this way for the next year, these are some things that we can sort of be aware of. So I'm waiting for Jack to come in here before we get started. And we'll give that to you guys, and then we're going to do a little musical number. And that will be our holiday special for you. We're actually not going to take calls for this segment because we do need to focus on the reading. But make sure you follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Google Podcasts, and we're at a new high street.
Christian Mingle.
That's what we're doing.
Black gay chat Skodex.
Does that even feel like this? Okay. I am going to start the book. Start it. This is fun. I'm actually, like, when I do this, I wasn't expecting anyone to ask us to do it this year or see if we were still going to do it.
We were asked for this last year, so, you know, my FedEx won Ed Moon. Hopefully, our mortals and our ancestors come through and let us be accurate again this time. So if the cards speak, let our ancestors speak. I may just have random things to say. Hopefully you can still hear me. I'm a little bit far away from the mic. But sometimes speak through me. So if anybody's listening, they might be talking to you. So prayer on, you might get a free little evidence, as the piece of people say. It's pity sees more people. Good job. Cool child.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm going to let you interpret your shit first. All
right. So, do I start? Do I end or start with the, like, the or? I should start with the or of the year. So, the or of the year, the feeling of the year is the Hierophant in reverse. And that is sort of a dissension from what, like, traditional and conventional. It also can talk about, like, a paradigm shift in, like, personal thinking. Like, we have sort of our own ways of interpreting data and processing feelings, and that the Hierophant in reverse can talk about a shift from that, or a shift, like, in institution. So it's a lot of moving away from tradition. So that is sort of the overall feeling of 2020.
To add on to that, Edwin is saying that it's time for things to stop being based on custom. There's a lot of work that my Ile is doing just by being that is already bringing this. Crazy how important my Ile seems to be to the movement of certain things. And if you understand the language that I'm saying, my practice I'm initiated to, if you don't, then you don't, and you will find out when certain things are done. Trust me, I'm going to give y'all as much information as I can, sanctioned by my Godfather and sanctioned by Spirit as well. But what it's saying is, like, things like traditional transphobia gotta go. Things like traditional homophobia and traditional misogyny and misogynoir, things like anti-blackness because of how colonialism worked to tradition, gotta go. Things like continental African Christianity, continental West African Christianity as a decline. Things gotta go. And where it speaks on tradition, it speaks on the idea that tradition is more important than paradigms. And as though traditions don't make room for paradigm shifts, that energy is going to get turned on its ass.
Okay, so for January, I would say it's half. Okay, so for January, what is that? That's the Seven of Swords in reverse.
Eight of Swords. Lord.
A lot of trust, well, it speaks to, like, the aura of the year. A lot of trust in conventional thinking and conventional wisdom will be severed because it's going to be proved to be a farce, huh?
Keep going.
And people will have to rely on their own personal intuitiveness to get them in situations rather than, like, rhetoric. Also, so, like, cutting off toxic relationships.
I say.
And things that, like, don't serve you, but sort of don't enrich you and grow you. And knowing, to see, like, the poison in the water. Like, someone's giving you dirty water. Like, they may be watering. That way, and I think there'll be sort of this mass awakening of that for
also,
January.
The end of self-deprecating thought. It is not serving you to speak less of yourself. It's serving you to think that your thoughts, emotions, and ideas are not. If they are not well researched, that is something that you have to cut out. It is not the time to have thoughts and emotions that are not steeped in logic. Anything where you are shitting on yourself is not steeped in logic. Anything where you critique yourself is, and anything where you see your flaws but don't make them the whole of who you are, especially mentally, is it like, otherwise it just needs to go. If you are thinking, oh, well, I ain't shit because I ain't making the coin, cut it out, because that is what's stopping you from making the coin. That's got to go in order for your January and the rest of your year to be set up in any of the positive ways that could potentially be set up. I'm looking at brokenness in the future otherwise.
I'm going to keep going. Hold on. Just.
Yep. Just drew another card from a different deck. It is the King of Swords upside down. That goes to continue that wave.
Okay, so for February, is the Princess of Wands in reverse. And what I get from that is we've had a lot of trafficking going on. Mm-hmm. To continue and come into more of a public forefront. the narrative of sex trafficking is gonna like take sort of like a buzz and a storm. I know from just how I feel about it. I feel like there's more than sex trafficking just going on, and people are gonna continually be more black and brown. It's gonna the white community, and that's why it's going to be something that's present in our minds in February.
That's true. A way that you can personally combat the energy of sex trafficking is having a full, because even though, you know, there is not necessarily much you can do for sex trafficking at large, energetically, your sex can be trafficked, if you understand what I'm saying. There are people who will take advantage of your sex drive, people that will take advantage of how you think about sex and things of that nature. It might be time to start expanding your thoughts about sex, and it is definitely time to get in control of your sexuality. It's a time to make sure you and your partner have an understanding sexually. It is a time that you start to get into yourself sexually. Like women, you're gonna have to bust some nuts. I'm sorry, you are not. You are vulnerable if you don't know how to please yourself on multiple levels. Your heart is vulnerable if you don't know what it takes to get you to come. More important than you think, and this is going to be something that will be extremely paramount in February. King of Personality is king. It is saying that either some masculine emotions will come into your life or to show you, or it's something that you have to bring to yourself from the masculine side of yourself. Again, I don't believe yin and yang is a split. There is a small dot inside of you that will give you the tools that you need to find the smaller dot to make the big O occur.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to move on to, okay, February, March. March is the
Seven of Wands
in reverse. After you've come out of this sort of emotional struggle, that emotional struggle is going to be met by So like March is gonna be very like a very low month for everyone in general. I can't exactly what's gonna happen. The week still gives me the idea of like this is when like the recession that we've been due for a while may start to hit.
That's
right. And we might see some decline in the labor force, like jobs have been going up, but the largest corporations in our country are finding ways to cut physical labor out, and I think now we're gonna like in March we're gonna start to see like the actual effects of that.
what I love about what's happening in this reading is Pat is giving a very much a community and global understanding, and I am getting a very and relative understanding. You're going to want to, what I see a lot in that card, in the placement that it's in upside down, is loneliness and feeling like you don't have the energy to fight because you're doing it all by yourself. This is time, and I really want everybody to be reminded, this is time to really look to your partner for guidance, and look to your partner for that shoulder to cry on. Please actually cry on your partner's shoulder, and please look at your partner and see, this is for both sides. This is not one side going through this. Everyone is going to go through this. You look to your partner's emotions as well, because they're healing and you healing the person that you're with. There's understanding and you understanding what the person that you're with is going through. So don't just be so self-focused while you're in the bed with somebody. Don't be so self-focused while you're working with a coworker or anything like that. When you see somebody struggling, help them, because that will help you. And if everyone is on that wave, then it's not so much of a fight, and it's more of a hands together mm-hmm. march through the situation. I just pulled two cards, and it's the Hermit upside down, which again, that tells me do not fucking do it. And the Two of Swords, it could be a mental battle if you are going to think of it on your own and act like you got to deal with your problems on your own. Do not do it. Resist the urge.
April. Three of Pentacles shows like some financial relief. Star of the show, so it might be like some stimulus package. It's also tax time. So, like, I feel like people, like, in the recession, because they're getting their taxes back, like, the taxes this year for some people are going to be a little bit better than last year. You might see a little bit more money, but I feel like that's only because there is, like, a recession looming. And May is a doozy.
So, yeah, for April, yeah, there's a lot of power in togetherness. There's magic. They say when three agree, it is so. There's magic in working together. This is not the year of the solitary. I've been preaching against individualism for a while. This is not the year of the solitary person. This is the year of finding your tribe. This is the year of finding someone that you can walk in this life together with.
I see.
Leave the old shit to the old shit and find new shit if that's the case. But end of the day, being alone, that doesn't necessarily mean romantic relationship. Moving on, because we don't have to decide.
In May, a lot of family relationships are going to be, and emotional relationships are going to be turned upside down. Like, if you are going through some family stuff now, like in May, it's going to bust wide open for a lot of people. And that's because, like, a lot of us have been pouring ourselves into toxic relationships. And it's going to have to be shaken out for the next, like, coming month in 2020.
I say, if both partners are not practicing patience, temperance is the idea that, you know, this means, like, save your money. This means that if somebody is spending too much money in your situation, y'all have to really get that together and get on a page that is similar, and it would behoove the person that is doing the spending to be the person to step up and be like, okay, no, wait, I know I'm spending a lot of money, let's... And if they're not going to do that, it might behoove you to cut them off. There has to be temperance happening. Like, when you get that tax return, you gotta put that bitch in the bank and do not touch her.
May, June, Queen of Cups this year isn't, like, particularly pleasant.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard.
The Queen of Cups in reverse talks about reclaiming your own emotionality. And sort of taking in the secrets of, like, the King of Cups, for instance, because the King of Cups is, like, a lot about emotional secrecy, and the Queen of Cups sort of, like, has that mirror and is, like, looking at all the things that are hidden. And in reverse, that means, like, looking at the things that are hidden within yourself. So there's going to be, like, a lot of, like, self-reflection for people in general because of, like, the rocky start that we've had for this year up until this far in June, and that's the solstice. But for much of the year, like, we're underwater, and, like, it shifts after that.
If you don't figure out your own emotions, I suggest doing it now. Do not wait until June. If you wait until June, you will be blindsided by the need to figure it out, and by then it may be too late. You will end up broke, people. People are going to lie to you, but again, their illusions are not going to win. They are going to, you're going to see through them, and that's going to shake you. Seeing through people that you thought you knew who they were and they not exactly who they you thought they were is going to shake you. Your cup doesn't run it over. Your flowers are going to be dry if you don't actually pour into yourself emotionally and understand what it means to be an emotional being. But when and if you do, you will have all the power in the world and the Ace of Wands. You will be the most powerful individual and ready for some of the crazy shit that's coming towards the end of the year, because my God.
So July, no hot girl summer this year, unfortunately. It's going to be like a cold one because people are going to, like, spiritually are going to be in very interesting places, like, as a, like, a planet. I guess because we're such a hot mess from, like, up until the solstice, like, guys are like, okay, we need to, like, pull together. So if you're not a praying person, you need to start praying in July. Like, you're going to be brought to your knees, pretty much.
You're going to be brought to your knees. You're going to, whether it be whoever, whether it be Lua or Isha, your Edwin, it's going to have to be your ancestors first and foremost. But you're going to come to the need of some kind of spiritual help. You're going to need baths. Y'all gonna need rompimientos. Y'all gonna need all kinds of work. If again, a lot of this stuff can be preventable. We're seeing, you know what I'm saying, this is the High Priestess. It all can be preventable and get to that point where you yourself are the High Priestess and not in need of her. If you do a lot of this work that we're saying in the beginning, as in, like, starting now, there's a lot of togetherness happening. There's a lot of you needing to be on a throne with somebody sitting on their own throne next to them. And if they don't have a throne, meaning they haven't done that work, especially the work of the Queen of Cups in reverse, then they are a servant, and you can't be with a servant. You as a royal cannot be with a commoner. This is going to be one hell of a mental fight. All fucking year is going to be a bunch of mental fights. And it by now you could be making some money, but if not, you're gonna be spending a lot more. You people that like retail therapy have got to slow the.
In August, it broke.
6 minutes.
It's the Knight of Pentacles in reverse. Speaks about a lot, but he just said. If you don't get your prayer on, there's going to be a lot of lush crops. Like, you're going to have your money, but you're not going to be able to get to it, if that makes sense. I don't know why. Maybe you can provide some clarity.
So I've just pulled the sun on this deck that I'm pulling from. The sun very much has a partnership again. Then it was the Two of Pentacles, which is a good sign for money, but then it's the Ten of Cups upside down, which is like, the Ten of Cups is about, like, too much satiety in the first place, and then if it's upside down, it's like really it's about not overextending yourself emotionally and really getting to understand what it is that you need emotionally and communicate. Earlier, somebody said that what I was preaching was enchanting, and it might be, but you need You need to be able and be locked in with your partner, your child, et cetera. Y'all need to be locked in with the things that will keep y'all together and keep y'all moving and pushing, if, and just in case this whole financial system collapses tomorrow. If y'all don't have something together that will keep y'all warm, again, your partner's sexuality, like we said in February, your two sexualities will literally keep you warm in the cold to sleep at night. The if your money is not fucking working, you need to have something that is other than financial and fiscal liberation and fiscal support that is holding y'all together. If you're with your partner for money, that shit is not going to survive.
All right, so I'm going to tell you what's about to happen. I just realized what the, and we can wrap this up because we're short on time too. But like I just realized what this last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 months of the year, so September, October, November, December. We're going to get fucked over in the election, y'all, as we always do. And Trump is going to be president again because fucking December is death in reverse.
And I just pulled the death card.
Yeah, so whatever hope you had for a Democratic presidency, throw those illusions away. We had it straight for a dictatorship, baby.
Tyranny's
straddle up. Like, there's going to be a lot of false hope in September with the Chariot in reverse, the Lovers in reverse, like a lot of people in October. Like, there's going to be
The Lovers is straight up.
Lovers straight up. Not seemingly meaningful. And that's what, like, September is going to be about from a political perspective. And then in November, all those choices, those great options we had, are going to disappear with the Three of Wands.
And then in December, reverse. Everything that you thought was real is going to be real no longer. Everything is going to flip on its ass.
Yeah,
going to
be like, how did this happen again? White supremacy. But
and when this motherfucker gets a third term, don't say we didn't warn you.
But you had it from us. Oh, we don't even have enough time to really do our joy.
Oh, damn.
You want to try it?
Meow.
It's too long. We didn't get to do
our song.
Our musical number.
But we'll be prepared for y'all next year because one thing that's not going to be different is we're going to be here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
We'll play out the instrumental. Maybe we'll hum a little something. But thank you guys for joining us on the holiday special. Thank you for sitting under the Anukai tree for this first season. We'll be back with season 2 in the new year. I'll put more about our yearly reading in the description box. Make sure you follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Instagram at the Anukai tree.
And if you want more readings, put them in the comments somewhere, because goddamn, I know y'all gonna need some readings. Look at this bitch. Pat, Miss Sykes just took a picture. Are you uploading that pic?
Yeah, well, I'll put it on Instagram.
You're gonna upload that pic on Instagram and look at it yourself and just when you see it, if your third eye is open, you don't have to know nothing about tarot. The shit's gonna buzz and it's not gonna feel good. Okay? So, we'll try to keep y'all as prepared as possible. That's it. One thing that's still the truth is definitely in a Christmas.
Yeah.
Get together, y'all, all year.